Blog Talk Radio.
I am the voice of ancient calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. You seek my face. I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
good afternoon. You've reached the NCWCC Blog Talk Radio Show. Today is May 19, 2010, and we are airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And the segment name for this show is the June 13, 2010 Atlanta Dream Caribbean Night Concert for Emergency Relief in Haiti. Sometime tonight, we will be talking with the legendary artist, Mr. Bunny Wailer, singer and songwriter and percussionist, and he was an original member of the reggae group The Wailers, along with Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. He is widely regarded as a musical legend and is considered one of the longtime standard bearers of reggae music. He has been named by Newsweek as one of the three most important musicians in the world. So we look forward sometime in the show to have him to come up and give us an ideal about very strong subject matters in and around surrounding the performance that he's going to have on June 13, 2010 at the Phillips Arena here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's in collaboration with various partners throughout the segment world. We have partnered with the Atlanta Jamaican Association and the Greater Community Consciousness. We're also working with Hebel, which is a aerated concrete green firm out of Europe. We're working with Upfield Design, located in Decatur, Georgia. We're working with BCC, Margaret Gardner, our chairman of our board, who's a licensed general contractor, who was one of the first women to build a Walmart in the south side of Chicago. And we're working with CECI, which is a second generation concrete firm. And we're also being very, very well fed by the Jamaican Flavor Restaurant and Lounge here in Decatur, Georgia, who is going to be our host restaurant for the event. They're going to be partaking in a weekend-long third annual cookout in Lithonia, Georgia, on June 12, 2010. I want to make sure that everyone knows that the coalition and its partners, being the NCWCC Build a Youth, the Youth Build International, and Youth Build USA, are all partaking in an international partnership to go into Haiti and rebuild Haiti in a transformational effort. Please view the website of gcclikeness.org to look at some of the work that's being done with GCC and the projects that's been placed on our calendar for the next 3 years. I want to thank our first guest on today, young man that has been very, very instrumental in doing the logistics on the Haiti project transformation. The young man, his name is Franz. He is a native-born Haitian, and he saw the need after looking at the devastation to go forward and fly over to Haiti and try to visualize what devastation is, one, and then what he could do to help. Young man is a part of our NCWCC multimedia, and he took on about 4 hours worth of raw footage in visiting Haiti and talking with people and having relatives that were lost in the earthquake. Franz, welcome to the call. How's it going?
Thank you very much. I'm doing very good. My name is Franz Messina, and I was born in Haiti. And today I just want to thank Ms. Ali and also Mr. Bunny Whaler for giving me the opportunity to just be here and be talking on this show. I also want to thank Mr. Whaler and Ms. Ali for putting this benefit concert to help the people of Haiti, because I believe that they will be blessed and grateful for everything that you guys are doing for them. Also, after I came from my trip to Haiti, I saw a lot of things that I wanted to do over there, and that's why I really wanted to shoot some video. I want to thank Mr. Coleman, who's part of the NCWCC, for helping me put together the video of the documentary, because I really couldn't do it by myself.
When you just a few questions. Okay, just a couple questions. We got some time in between the segment. Tell us about the experience when you first got to Haiti, in your own words. I guess you, based on shooting the documentary, some of the things that the people, the spirit of the people, was pretty much uplifted. They were not in a destitute emotional state. These people, the folks there, were beat and moving forward. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. I think one of the challenges that I had was before I went to Haiti, because I left Haiti when I was 9 years old and I lived in America for about 19 years. So after the earthquake, a lot of people told me that it wasn't a good idea to go to Haiti, because when you watch the news, it does show a lot of images of hopelessness. And for a brief moment, they had showed there were a couple rioting situations, that nothing got escalated. But my mom was afraid for my safety, but I felt like I had a mission to go there to see for myself what the experience was for the people. And when I did get to Haiti, I realized that although the circumstances were pretty rough, a lot of the people were a lot calmer than I was, and a lot of them were just moving on with life. So that really just made me feel like they gave me hope, because my whole intention when I was going to Haiti was to give them hope, because I really started feeling like the situation was so hopeless. I just wanted to be there, but once I got there, I felt like the people made me stronger, and they gave me a reason to keep going, because I realized that a lot of people did not give up. So although the media shows that a lot of the people are hopeless and that it's like life doesn't matter anymore, that's really not the case for a lot of Haitian people. And the reason why I titled my documentary The Voiceless of Haiti was because I felt like there were so many positive experiences in Haiti. There were so many stories of hope and people moving on that wasn't getting through, that I titled it The Voices of Haiti because I wanted to give a voice to these positive people and the positive experiences that they were living.
And the question is, even with the devastation, you lost some dear cousins, but yet
yes.
Your other cousin is doing the work of still teaching kids in school, even though the school is damaged. School is still continuing. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, and that's also that also shows that the people weren't hopeless, because yes, there were buildings down where he taught school, but what he did was he moved the school to a church. So the church was basically a big kind of like tent area where he still had classes during the day. He had classes for elementary kids. He had classes for high school kids, and he basically still kept his role of directing the area because he had students teaching them. So that really made me feel empowered, and that made me feel like a lot of people were in Haiti were empowered because they were creative enough to find other solutions to everyday problems.
The makeshift tent that you had on there, those individuals that was living in that tent, they was actually still surviving on a level of humanity and dignity. They were not as being depicted on the videos that we see, as you know, that we saw the other day. You know, on certain sites that show that you have all this famine and disheartening. You saw people that was dressed almost better than you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was, and to me, what that told me was even if circumstances are bad, like, for example, there was one time my second day in Haiti, I walked in and I started talking. I walked in a tent area. And there was a lady who was under, it wasn't even a tent, it was sticks and stones with like a blanket on top of it. But she was living there, and she had her baby with her. And to me, they both looked healthy. And all I kept asking was, you know, if you're not working and your husband's not around, he's not working, how do you all move on with life? And I realized that, you know, she told me that the way she gets by every day is by faith. So I realized that the people in Haiti are really on a different system than us living here in America, because in America, a lot of times, if you lose your job or you don't have any food, there's always somewhere that you could go. But for this lady, she just relied on faith. She told me she believes in God and she's a Christian. So a lot of people in Haiti are Christians, and they just rely on faith to get by every day. And I think that's a very powerful belief system, because without faith, people would basically just become hopeless and not be able to move on with life.
Let me welcome Mr. Coleman to the call. Mr. Coleman, welcome to the call.
How you doing, everyone?
We're just waiting on our guest artist, Mr. Whaler, to come on, and I have France on. I hope everyone understands that The young man that's speaking right now, actually, to just kind of recap, is a young man that flew over to Haiti, and between the two of you all, you're able to take 4 hours of film and edit it and place it on the YouTube site. Tell us a little bit about once you got involved, because, Mr. Coleman, you edited and saw footage of so much. Tell our listeners, based on the perspective that the young man shot this amateur film, what was your opinion about the things that we've been discussing? One of those were the fact that the people of Haiti are they do need help as any other country or any other city that goes through some kind of catastrophic earthquakes or any kinds of weather devastation, but they're living, and they're living with dignity and pride. Could you kind of let the listeners know about what you saw in your in-depth look of being able to view all 4 hours of the footage?
Yeah, definitely. What I saw was, as you mentioned, you know, a nation that had been hit by catastrophe, but they weren't like, you know, laying down and allowing that particular natural disaster to dictate how they're going to live from day to day. It's like, okay, this has happened to us. Now we got to move on. We got to survive. We can't allow this to be greater than our pride, our dignity, and our country in and of itself. I think what's happening is based on some of the stuff that I've seen out on the web, it's just like other individuals may be going to get some of these images that maybe have caught these people at a moment when, you know what I mean, they may have been like helpless or down, and then they're publicizing that to make it seem like these people, you know, the Haitians are just, you know, like destitute, just helpless, when, I mean, they've stood the test. Haiti has stood, you know, withstood more and conquered and been victorious in more situations than pretty much any other civilization out there. So these people are definitely resilient. They've, like I said, they've pulled together. I mean, I have some of the footage. We didn't exactly get to have that particular piece of footage on there, but this lady, Franz, is talking to a lady that's in a tent, and she's a professional businesswoman. She lost her business, and she's talking to Franz, and Franz is sitting here in her tent asking her a question, and it's not a nice tent. It's something that they, you know, a makeshift tent. But in the interim, she was fanning, it was hot outside, so she took a towel and it was actually fanning Franz to keep him cool while she was in her house, in her tent, you know what I mean? So it was like, okay, I don't have that much, but I want you to be comfortable in my home while I tell you my story, you know what I mean? So they are really survivors. So I would just, this is what I saw. That's one of the things that stuck in my mind. And then his cousin, the educator, who has basically lost his whole school, but turned around and is actually they made a makeshift tent and got all these kids together from all these different grades, and they're teaching them on a day-to-day basis. So they are survivors. They are not laying down for anything. And I get a little upset when I see them depicted as such on some of these other sites or whatever.
Okay. As you saw the selective photos that the young man had on the footage, I think he's never had any experience in videotaping anything like this. So this is somebody who just pretty much followed the areas in which were devastated. So it's all depicted. Everything that I saw on the YouTube, on the NCWCC, buildayouth.org site, showed individuals carrying on with life on a day-to-day basis. As a professional, what's your opinion about the way the footage was shot and the accuracy in which you were able to relate? He was trying to portray how you guys were trying to relate to, because his determination was determination that with him trying to get this document as he did and engineer put into place, his determination is the same determination that you've seen in the people of Haiti that you saw. He wasn't laying down either. Franz, you had some trouble getting some things, getting this project done as well, right?
Yes, I did. And one of the problems that I was running into was because something like, shooting a documentary or doing a story, I didn't think it was going to be that hard. But what I realized is you need a lot of software, like a lot of the software Mr. Coleman had, which cost, and it could be up to $1,000. And then just the time and patience to do this. So what I realize is, many people were not going to do this for free or even really attempt to help me with it because of the amount of time and resources it was going to take. Initially, I was going to do the small documentary with a school that had told me they were going to help me with it. And they basically pulled out on me at the last minute and told me that, not enough kids registered for the class. So, but thank God that I knew Mr. Coleman. I met him basically a fluke situation through a friend of mine, and he just decided to basically do this for free because he felt the passion that I had, and he knew that this was something to help the people of Haiti. And I'm just grateful to be around people like that.
Okay, could you kind of turn either your phone down or take it off of speakerphone because it's kind of muffled a little bit?
Okay.
I want to welcome our founder online, Ms. Freeman. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to kind of share with you all something that's happening right now. We are having not technical difficulties, but Mr. Whaler is having problems phoning in from Jamaica at this time. Basically, we talked to his promoter, and when some things get resolved, we may be able to cast him into the show today. If not, we will be looking at another time and date to have him on. But I want to thank Mr. Coleman and Franz for coming on. I want to thank Ms. Freeman, whose vision is always been to teach young people how to fish so they can fish a lifetime. Just want to kind of pick on you for a moment, Ms. Freeman. Why don't you share with us some of your comments and your thoughts about the task at hand and what we're doing as the National Coalition and putting together national partners like the Atlanta Dream to come in and provide a venue like the Phillips Arena in Atlanta. Do you mind giving us some little thought about what your opinion is about what's happening?
Well, I think it's a very good idea so that we can have this event so we can raise funds for the people in Haiti. And I think when you help others, then God helps you. And that's about all I can say about that. Thank you.
Okay, great. I wanted to just kind of go back to as you walk down the footage. You mentioned the young lady. There was a girl that you met on the road, and you asked her where was her parents at. Could you tell everybody about that experience?
Oh, you mean the little girl?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the little girl, I saw her, and I was talking to her, asking her where her parents were, because to me, having lived in America for so long, if I see a child walking down the street by themselves, and I saw a lot of this in Haiti, my impression was there's something wrong with that, or maybe they might be abandoned or something. But the interesting thing about Haiti is, and that's why I think before anybody goes in a country, they have to understand the culture, is that it's very common for small kids to be walking by themselves in Haiti because as long as they know where they're going, their parents basically allow that. It's not really a big deal. But in the case of that girl, she was actually next to the house of one of her family members, and I was able to go back there and speak to one of her relatives, and that's when I started talking to her because I wanted to know
how her life was going, because I realized that a part of her house was basically cracked. And when I started talking to her, she was one of the people that I guess I kind of ran into. I didn't get a chance to ask her for permission of why I was filming there. And at first she was apprehensive, but I did tell her that, hey, I'm not here, you know, like anybody else who just wants to grab a picture of you, who just wants to take some video footage of you, or put you in any way where you're going to be exploited. I told her I was just there simply to help out. And what I wanted to do was to be able to communicate with the people in America and the world what the truth is about Haiti. And I think as soon as I started talking to people in Haiti in those terms, they realized that, hey, you know, this guy's here to help out, and he's basically on our side. Yep.
Okay. And with that, her home devastated, or was it? It had sustained damage, but she was living still in her home, and just kind of working through the process, right?
Okay. It did have some damages. It wasn't completely destroyed, but it did have damages. And I hope that it was safe enough for her to live in there, because when I was in Haiti, if a house is not safe, then they would have a certain code that I think the government puts on there that says that, hey, you're not supposed to live in there. So I'm assuming her house had a code that allowed her to be able to live in there, because it wasn't a two-story house. It was just a one-story house. So I think it looked pretty safe.
Okay. Mr. Coleman, when you got into the footage more so, what other than the fact that you know, the spirit of they're not going to lay down, did you see where there would be places where the redevelopment and revitalization of that area would be an easy outcome? Because you've worked in the past and saw devastated areas like New Orleans as an adjuster for a major insurance company. Did you see a comparison in what you saw like in New Orleans to what you saw in the footage?
Yeah, it's funny that you would ask that. There's actually a building, and I actually was I worked along the coast of Mississippi, the Mississippi shoreline out of, like in Ocean Springs and everything, because a lot of people didn't realize that the eye of the storm actually came in into Mississippi, but on the coast of Mississippi, that was like, you know, 35-foot wall of water followed by 120-mile-an-hour winds. And I did notice that some of the devastation was sort of similar. And, you know, by me living in California for like 23 years, I've actually been in earthquake situations and stuff like that, like the Northridge earthquake. So it was really, really similar as far as the damage and destruction goes. But also what I've seen is that I think that if the situation that I believe needs to happen is that we need to put together a team of individuals that can go in there and actually teach the Haitians to rebuild their own country. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to just go there and maybe drop off some food and build a church or an orphanage, this, that, and the other. And then what happens after we leave? You know what I mean? It's just like there's devastation is still there. So
you know, that's the funny thing. I believe that we have a caller from 630. Is this Mr. Whaler?
No, it's actually Eric Shermer.
Okay, Eric. How you doing, Eric? How's it going?
Doing great. Is this Karima?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Welcome to the call. I know that you're busy, and I just wanted, I don't mean to cut you off, Mr. Coleman, but we have Eric Shermer from the Atlanta Dream WNBA calling. And, Eric, welcome to the call. Thank you for calling in.
Sure. Happy to be here.
I know we got you just for a second because you're in between some things, but could you kind of let everybody know what the vision and when this was brought to you, what the thought process was for the Atlanta Dream and the WNBA in conjunction to what our goals are and what your goals are in similarity with working with the Caribbean community?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, one of the goals of the Atlanta Dream and the WNBA, you know, women's professional basketball, is community involvement, and not only obviously in the Atlanta community, but throughout the U.S. and now reaching out to the Haitian community as well with the disaster that went on down there. We're just lucky to be a part of the you know, fundraising for the event, and the Dream has reached out to the Caribbean community in the Atlanta area through their through the festivals they're having on June 12th. Luckily, we have a Dream game on June 13th. They've partnered with the Greater Community Consciousness, as well as a number of the, you know, Caribbean islands, to provide discounted Dream tickets, but then also give money back to the Haitian fund to help rebuild the island.
Good evening.
Hello.
Yes, my name is Errol Ritchie. I'm with the Atlanta Jamaican Association.
Hey, Errol, this is Eric Shermer.
Hi, Eric, how are you?
Doing good. I was on the line with Karima as well, but I might have been disconnected. I'm not sure from the radio station, because...
No, you're still on. We can still hear you, Eric. My name is Coleman. I'm also a member of NCWCC, and I don't know, just in case if the call had dropped, but we were just, to the gentleman that just called in, Eric was just kind of like giving us an overview of why and how they feel that it's important for the Atlanta Dream to become involved with the fundraising effort for the Haiti Project. And he was just, like I said, at that point, just kind of like giving us an overview of how they were interested and, you know, really felt strongly about helping, reaching out to the national community and the international community. So that being said, since you just came on the line, sir, could you just give us a little bit about yourself until Karima comes back on the line?
Sure. Regarding the Atlanta Dream, you know, for the game on June 13th, we'll of course, the game starts at 3 o'clock, but then immediately following the game, there'll be a post-game concert, which we're really excited about, involving, you know, a number of Caribbean bands reaching out to a couple of different musical genres. Looking forward to, you know, obviously with the Dream playing at Phillips Arena, regarded as the best venue in the Southeast and one of the best in the world. You know, we're just fortunate and happy to be able to provide the venue to host this post-game concert and then also the relief effort.
Good. And the gentleman that just came on the air, did you say you're from the Jamaican Association, sir?
I am with the Atlanta Jamaican Association. We are one of the partners with the Atlanta Dreams in this effort.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying we're one of the partners in the effort, we joined forces with the two other groups, the NCWCC, of which Karima is a part, and the great the GCC, of which Michelle Watkins is the representative with us. We are bringing a Caribbean flavor to the event on that evening, on June 13th. As Eric probably mentioned, we'll have a variety of activities to complement the exciting game that will take place. I will just address the post-game concert in particular. The gentleman who will be our main attraction is a legend in his own right, popularly known as Bonnie Whaler. His correct name is Neville Livingston. He was one of the original members of the Whalers. Most people will know the Whalers because of Bob Marley having been
Bob
a part
Marley.
Of it.
Okay. So from the original, Bob Marley and the Whalers. Okay, all right, okay.
Yes, and he is a legend in his own right, has been doing solo performances for many years. He has been a Grammy nominee. I cannot say enough about him, but he will be coming And I'm sure a lot of us will be excited to have him perform.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And he will be joined. Pardon me?
Go ahead. He'll be joined by him.
No, no, I'm saying he'll be joined by some others, some other artists,
okay.
Both local and from elsewhere. So,
okay.
You know, we will have a very exciting evening.
Great, great. We're looking forward to it. By the way, my name is Mario Coleman. I'm also a member of NCWCC, and what I'll be doing is actually providing sound, video, lighting support. I'm a part of the multimedia portion of NCWCC, so the staging, the lighting, and everything as far as is needed on the background in order for the performances to happen, that'll pretty much be my area of expertise. And we'll actually be coming down tomorrow morning, meeting with Eric and doing a walkthrough of the building, and so we can go head on and contribute our level of expertise to the situation so we can just really have a great show. Now, I wanted to just elaborate on one thing, because I know that by my affiliation with several individuals from the Caribbean, it's really important for them to for others to know that they exist within their own class, not in a negative way, but it's like, you know, no, I'm not exactly Jamaican. I'm from another island, or, you know what I mean, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever, you know what I mean, and they have pride in that particular, in their particular ethnic group. So I think this is really incredible that everybody is coming together in a unified effort for the sake of another one of their brothers, you know, Caribbean brothers and sisters, which would be the Haitian community. So I just kind of like wanted to just ask you about just the identity mindset that you have, which is positive, but, you know, really just being able to say, you know what, regardless of who they are, whatever, they are brothers, and we're coming together for them. So I just really wanted your take on that stuff.
Well, you know, I am Jamaican. Our association, again, is the Atlanta Jamaican Association, and we're a nonprofit,
right.
Established to help the needy of whatever race, creed, or origin.
Right.
Of course, we place particular emphasis on Jamaicans. Having said that, yes, we all have our individual identities, and the culture we share, however, is you know, is one that all the islands identify with. There are many of us here in Atlanta, and for the most part, we don't get the recognition we deserve because. You know, like, for example, Jamaicans, I've been told, number anywhere from 40 to 100,000, just Jamaicans. So, you know, there are quite a few of us. There are obviously Guyanese, Trinidadian, Barbadian,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
others from many other islands. And you're right when you
right.
said, you know, we tend to, you know, stay within our own borders in terms of origin. But this here is an event that brings us together because it's for a cause bigger than us. It's to help Haiti in the final analysis. Yes, we're partnering with the Dream. It's a great opportunity to expose our culture and share the stage with the Dream, the Atlanta Dream. But we are very aware of what has happened in Haiti and the conditions that exist there now, and it probably is a blessing in disguise in that this tragedy has brought a number of people together, some of whom don't normally work together. But what we are doing is bringing all the heads of the various islands together so that they can engage their leaders within their islands to come to the table and make a contribution. So at the end of the day, we hope to have a wide variety of Caribbean people at the event and also contributing to the event. But I should also add that it's not just Caribbean folks that will be there or that we will be appealing to, but
right.
friends of the Caribbean. And I know the headliner, Mr. Bonuelo, he has an appeal that transcends borders of every type. So he will be attracting quite a variety of people. So, yes, we are coming together as folks from the islands, but we are also bringing, you know, and involving just about everyone. And we look forward to a wide variety of folks attending.
Definitely. And I think it's going to be a really great event. And like I said, I've been well aware of the pride that each individual entity within the Caribbean has as a race and as an organization, because I kind of found out by mistake by, you know, thinking that just because, you know, an individual had an accent that kind of sounded different from mine, that automatically assuming they were Jamaican when they were actually from Trinidad and, you know, some of the other islands. So, I mean, in that same, that, like you said, for all the different Caribbeans to come together as one in order to, for the greater cause, I think is really a tribute to the Caribbean brother and sisterhood as a whole. For, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, regardless of what we are as individuals, we love our brothers in Haiti, and we're willing to do what we can in order to support them and to, you know, make sure that we can do what we can to help them. So, again, I just want to say thank you to your organization for coming in and being a part of this.
We want to thank you also, especially you with your expertise that you're bringing to the table. And, of course, we are very grateful to the Atlanta Dream and the Philips Arena for making us a part of this, what we think is a great event. Mr. Whaler himself, you know, is an avid supporter of causes like these. And, you know, he will be making a major contribution himself. So for that, we're really grateful also.
I don't know if Ms. Karima has got back on. Are you on the line yet, Ms. Karima? Okay. Did I cut somebody off? Was somebody saying something? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, on behalf of the Atlanta Dream, we're, you know, extremely excited as well. I know through some of the conversations we've had that some of the other sports teams here in Atlanta, the Braves and Hawks and Thrashers, haven't really reached out to the Caribbean community, you know, as a whole, kind of bringing everyone together. And so I'm glad that, you know, this was an opportunity that we saw and had went after, and it seemed to have really, really taken off, and we're excited about that as well.
Good. I think I heard Nadine. Nadine, was that you in the background?
Yeah. This is me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. For those who don't know, we have Nadine Levy, which is like one of 200 black female architects in the United States. Also, her credentials speak for themselves. So, Sister Nadine, would you kind of just give us a brief introduction of you and in your passion, which you'll definitely be able to hear in her voice. Go ahead, Nadine, the floor is yours.
Right. Mr. Merrill said that I'm an architect here in Atlanta, practicing with my firm Upper Design. I'm also representing the Jamaican community as a member of the AJA, and also part of the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction that is partnering with all the other organizations to make this Caribbean Day happen. One of the things we're also, as part of the NCWCC, one of the roles that we will play in this project is we're looking to actually build, help Haiti rebuild. As people from the design industry, we understand the level of devastation that Haiti is undergoing and the amount of work and rebuilding that will need to be done on the island as part of this this whole move. is to provide, find opportunities and resources to help Haiti rebuild. We have liaison with our youth build international connections there, and we're working those out so we can have some feet on the ground there in Haiti and hopefully some of the other Caribbean islands as the need arises to help rebuild, provide, to build some social structures, et cetera. That's what we do. We build. We design and we build. So that's what we do.
Thank you, Ms. Nadine. And I think she touched on a really important point that I think that NCWCC and all the individuals that have partnered with us have really, the point that we really want to drive home is about going over to Haiti and leaving these individuals with a skill set that will allow them not only to rebuild the damages that have already happened, but they'll be able to hopefully utilize these in the future to be able to continue to be able to rebuild, I mean, to build their country and have a hand in allowing the legacy of their people, their history, and their resilience to continue. And that's been our objective. Mr. Franz Messina has an uncle who, I mean, a cousin who has a school over in Haiti that was actually devastated. He lost a couple of his colleagues there, and I don't know if his son actually was he lost his son in the actual building or whatever, but we were looking at that as being one of the projects. I mean, because what more important, if we're going to build something or rebuild something other than where people live at, I mean, our school, those schools need to be targeted as one of our objectives that we would like to empower the Haitian people to be able to, with the information, with the knowledge, and with the expertise and the skill sets to be able to go in and, like I said, rebuild their own schools and have an understanding of what's important. So if a situation like this happens again, the buildings are properly structured. So, I mean, at certain levels of, like a certain magnitudes of earthquakes, nothing could withstand it. But what we're saying, if the building is built properly, it will give them more time to evacuate the building as opposed to if it didn't meet certain codes or standards at all. So, again, our level of expertise with the knowledge that Ms. Levy has, Ms. Karima, and some of the knowledge that I have, and like I said, with the things that I've seen and the information that I've been exposed to, and, of course, some of the other experts, many of the other experts that will be coming in, I think that we'll really be able to make a formidable, realistic impact in that particular area and, like I said, be a part of the ongoing legacy from this point on. So I can be long-winded. So I'm going to just kind of, like, cut it right here. I was hoping that Ms. Karima would get back on the line. Nadine, how much time do we have left? Do you know?
About 11 minutes.
11 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Franz, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still on the line.
Okay. You got any parting words, Mr. Messina, before we sign off?
Well, all I wanted to say was, because I've been patiently listening to everybody, I just want to thank the Atlanta Dream and the Jamaican Community Association and everyone else who's working to help Haiti. Because if some of you are just getting on the line, I just want to reintroduce myself. I'm Franz Messina. I was born in Haiti. And when I was in Haiti, because I just went back recently, I did some video footage of my experience over there because I wanted to see for myself what the experience in Haiti was. I saw a lot of tragic things in the media. I saw a lot of tragic images and how Haiti was hopeless. But at the same time, I was speaking to family in Haiti, and a lot of them were telling me a different story. I realized a lot of them were going on. So I went down there, got some video footage. I'm very much an amateur, so I don't want anyone to think I'm some professional because I learned how to use a camera for about a couple of weeks before I went to Haiti. And luckily, when I came back from Haiti, Mr. Coleman was able to help me put the video together. So I'm just happy you all are portraying Haiti in a dignified way
and basically helping the people in a way where they're going to be able to help themselves. So to be able to build a building over there and to work with the Haitian people, they're learning something. So at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you teach a person to fish, and, you know, they'll be able to fish by themselves. But if you just go over there and we just, you know, give the people some food and just walk away, I mean, it's a nice gesture, but it doesn't really help us very much. So I'm just happy that everybody's doing something to really help the people grow and to help ourselves, basically.
I got a question. Haiti, what, Franz, what are some of the things that you know that you would like to see? What is it that you want to see?
Basically, what I want to see is I want job opportunities to open up in Haiti. I want careers. I want the people to be able to see different careers that they could go into, small business centers and construction opportunities, you know, with everything that's broken over there. So I think basically the NCWCC basically offers all of that. We have the multimedia program that could show the people, you know, designs and how they're going to rebuild, and the people need to know computer skills, because a lot of the jobs in Haiti and a lot of the way people run businesses, they don't have computers. So I just feel like the NCWCC is providing a lot of the skill set that the people need to basically move on in the future.
Okay. And I want to thank the Atlanta Jamaican Association, Mr. Ritchie, for coming aboard and actually getting the momentum of this movement, this vision going. And the good thing about just this whole thing, the people that are on the call, the Atlanta, Eric, you know, the relationship is based on some of the things that we teach that are very, 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 very critical when it comes to creating opportunities to break down barriers. And I'm a parent, but when you break down and start addressing the issues of human capital networks, social capital networks, and financial capital networks, you break down a tremendous amount of levels of things that we think are something that's not attainable. And one of the things that I really want to just kind of re-echo is that the Atlanta Dream did not have to take this position, you know, and the Atlanta Jamaican Association has taken a position since 1978 to help the community and the greater community consciousness, which is headed up by Michelle Watkins, who's a tremendous leader and a very strong visionary. And we have people like Mr. Coleman online that is you know, they walk and talk this day, and you got the people that are very, very focused and very driven on a positive outcome of this particular event. The one thing that I want to share with everyone is that even though we might have lost the connection with getting Mr. Whaler on, he is and he will be here in Atlanta June 11th, 12th, and 13th. He will be probably on several other shows as well as maybe an opportunity for this one. But I want to thank everyone specifically for stepping up and stepping in and becoming the change. And the young man that's online, he's 28 years old. So the people that are around this young man, I'm sure it's given him a different a value system. And I say this in terms of targeting the NCWCC's mission and its goal in changing the face of not just contracting but the footprint of the world. And as we partake with the various partners throughout the globe, people like Hebel, which is an 80-year-old company that just has stepped up to the plate, and over the next 5 years they're going to deliver 20,000 buildings of sustainable designs that Mr. Coleman was talking about, referencing to, that, you know, in Haiti there has been no more than what has happened in New Orleans or any place else. As I've learned from Ms. Livy, being a LEED certified architect, one of 210 architects in the country, okay, that the sustainable design levels were not there in Haiti. So what we plan on rebuilding is a transformation of more than just people, you know, bricks, block, and stick. And so with that, we share with you all the same thing that that one of our sisters, Ms. Watkins, who is the CEO of GCC, has said, is becoming one consciousness, one mind. And with that, you know, you have this conscious amount of conscious-driven people moving forward in the vision that God himself had told us, and we are our brother's keepers. And it's so a tremendous opportunity for us to not just think the dream, but be the dream and become that. And with that being said, we got an email from Youthful International. Our project starts October 2010. So within 27 weeks of our project, if you go online and look at our package, in 27 weeks, we will have a sustainable building up, designed and built in Haiti in 27 weeks starting October 1. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you, Ms. Watkins had talked about, was that we're going to have a memorial brick walkway, the names printed of anyone that wants to either sponsor or people who lost their loved ones in that walkway, and created in a garden set so that there will always be a place of peace in the midst of the storm. So I just want to share with you all at the show. I certainly appreciate everything, and you know, personifying the whole ideal of one consciousness, one mind. I want to once again thank the Atlanta Jamaican Association. Has been around since 1978. They have been the pathway for a lot of people to walk on, that they have been dancing about. Mr. Bunny Whaler, and then, you know, just to thank the WNBA, Atlanta Dream, and Eric for believing in what we are and where we're going. And I want to thank Mr. Coleman for bringing the young man to the forefront and seeing this vision and working countless hours to pull all the necessary footage together. And I also want to thank Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design, who very, very busy, but I hug her so badly that, you know, we were able to get some preliminary conceptual work out of her, outside of her busy schedule. And all of that is on the website of gcclikeness.org. Please participate in the third annual cookout that's going to be in Lithonia. Please go on their website. They're looking for sponsors. They're looking for people who want to acknowledge the community. And this is the third year that they've done this, and I want to thank everybody for coming onto the show and finding the time to believe in what we're doing. And I want to just close the show out with Destiny Muhammad called Grace. Thank everyone, and look forward to you all participating on June 3rd.
I am the voice of ancient calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze.